Hello and welcome to our gathering today. We are going to talk about the new moon in Libra a little bit, some of the en other energies that are taking place that are very, very significant. And some interesting experiences that I've had that I want to share with you because I feel like at some point you're all going to be having these experiences too. And I am a storyteller. It's how I help others receive, process, and really come into their own through my stories, which will illuminate what's taking place for you. So there's something significant here that I want to share, and we will definitely be talking about that. But right now, I want to start with the new moon in Libra, and that is happening today. It's happening today and probably a half an hour from now from this recording because I'm making it on the new moon in Libra. And this moon has been extremely potent. I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, are feeling it. One of the reasons it's so potent is because at the time the moon goes into Libra, the sun will also be in Libra. And they will both be in Libra at 28 degrees, which is 1 degree away from the completion degree, which is 29. And this 28 degrees is a coming to completion in a sense. And it brings through 28-28 because it's both the sun and the moon in Libra at this moment. And if you break down in numerology, 28, 28, 8 and 2 is 10. So we have 10, 10. And the number 10 is really significant for the God code. That's the first thing that comes to me when I think of the number 10, the God code. It's also the Wheel of Fortune, knowing that everything and anything can happen and is available to us to happen based on the energy that we are bringing forth and creating our reality from. And something really important in the number 10 is the one and the zero. And the one and the zero is the matrix code. The zero is the off position, and the one is the on position. So it's really a powerful, powerful time right now. Very powerful time. And because of the nature of this moon, this Libra moon, and Libra is a sign of balance and harmony and fairness and equality. Because of the nature of this moon being in the 28th degree, being of the God code, it's really going to push our buttons. And one of the areas that it's going to push our buttons is self re-evaluation. Now, I know we're all in the work and we're doing the work every day, and we're all in the work every day, and we operate in the work from the highest perspective every day. But this is really going to have us looking at the question, who am I? Who am I? Who am I when I am wearing my work face or mask? Who am I when I'm wearing my family mask? Who am I when I'm wearing my relationship mask? Who am I when I'm wearing my friendship mask? Who am I when I'm wearing the mask of self? In other words, how am I being to myself? And all of this is going to be pushing us to look at relationship dynamics in order to heal them, in order to help us exit the game of separation. See what it is that we're creating from the perspective that we're creating from. We may be looking at people in our reality and thinking they've got it all together, or life is so easy for them and it's not easy for me, and I don't feel like I have it all together and it feels challenging. My relationships feel challenging, my friendships, my work dynamic. We may be looking and thinking that, but we're projecting that out as if it was truth. And if you look at it clearly, if you look at the story that you're building around these things, people, places, and things, it's probably not any truth to it at all. And this is where these forces, these planetary shifts, these alignments are pushing us to have an identity check, to check in with ourselves. And some of the things that we need to be looking at is, what are my wounds? What wounds am I carrying? Maybe they're not even wounds that are really truly my wounds. Maybe it doesn't belong to me at all, but I'm carrying it like it is my truth or my wounding. What are the narratives I allow myself to play in through my connection with others? Looking around at the people in your life, the relationships that you have, whether it's family dynamics or friendships or work relationships or situationships, and seeing what is it that you're accepting that doesn't really resonate with you, that you really are not happy about, but you accept it and are willing to do it anyway and participate anyway because it's easier to keep the peace than it is to stand in your power, which again is an illusion. It's an illusion. And in my opinion, that's a learned behavior because we're taught very young to be seen and not heard and all these adult rules and restrictions, and that is what shapes us as to the narratives that we play in. And then another question we could ask ourselves is, what is outside my control? What do I have no control over that I have to allow myself to participate in? In other words, maybe you work in a work environment, and your work environment is structured in such a way that, maybe you went to school for accounting and now you're working at an accounting firm. And it's work, you need the money, it's a job, but you don't love the way that the firm is structured, but you have to work there anyway. And the way that they do their business is a little outside of your control. You could make suggestions, but maybe they're not taken or they're not heard. So, what are those instances, those situations, those relationship dynamics that you have to play in where you are not in complete power, where you do not really have a say in what is taking place? And then another part of this is, what's truly authentically me? What do I engage in a day-to-day experience that is truly who I am? What do I put off that is not me? And so, very interestingly, for myself, I have started to realize, and it's primarily because I'm doing a lot of journaling and a lot of reflection, a lot of self-reflection. And I was realizing or having like this profound aha moment the other night when I was looking back over my cancer, my moments with cancer, not my cancer, because it's not my cancer, but my moments with cancer, both times that I had cancer, and then the relationship I was in at the time, and all the different factors in my life. And I was looking back at that to see how I moved into this path of healing, onto this journey that I'm on, and why I am feeling the way that I'm feeling now about the work, about my offerings and my life in general. And of course, this is all pushed forward by these shifts, right? These moon, the moon that we're playing in and everything. And I had this moment where I all of a sudden had this awareness and just kind of came in, it just floated in that I started collecting art supplies when I was married to my husband, Pete. He was my last husband, and we were probably only married like 2 years, and I started collecting art supplies, and I was putting them in the basement. I had a little spot where, I would do some once in a while, some little bit of sketching or whatever. And I was still looking for that part of myself that I had let go, that when I was younger with the art. And when 2013 hit and I developed that Bartholin cyst, which was in January or February of that time, which was really significant because when I had cancer for the first time, it was in March of 2000. So it was these beginning cycles, right? The beginning cycle of the new year. And it was just really telling me something had to shift, but I wasn't paying attention to that at the time, which is why it's so important for us to be present and paying attention to where we are in our process of our own evolution. And so I remember pulling out my art supplies and drawing a vagina, because that's where the Bartholin cyst was. It was on the cervix wall. And I remember giving it a face and putting some hair on it as if it was its own personality. And I wrote on it, "I love my vagina." And it was a very important moment in my healing journey because I don't really think I ever had that thought before in my life. And I remember feeling really uncomfortable with it, right? Like that thought was taboo or whatever. And now, remember, this is only not even, like probably, let's see, what year? That was 2012 or no, 2013. So really not that long ago, right? Maybe 12 years ago that was. And then the cancer was 2000, so that was 25 years ago. But very significant because we're in a 30-year cycle of endings. We're in a 30-year cycle of culminations and endings. And so the other night, all of this is coming up, and it's coming up because I'm remembering back to that time where I was looking for a way to heal myself. This is the most important part of the story. The other stuff is not important. And to my men who are listening in the community, I apologize if any of that made you uncomfortable, but it is what it is, and we have to, I want to speak openly and be completely transparent with this. So, and it's very interesting that I had this look back at my healing journey and like, what was the kickoff? Like, where did that take place? Where was that kickoff that helped me really start tuning into what was taking place with that Bartholin cyst? Because we know cysts are telling the same story over and over again, right? It was like I was telling myself I wasn't good. My marriage wasn't good. Again, it was like another failed marriage. But the human thinks that there's something wrong with them. And the higher self soul says, no, it's simply the way you chose to experience your reality so that you would continually be forced to focus back on yourself. Because the way that you came in and incarnated into the reality is to learn about yourself, to evolve your consciousness, to keep pushing to higher states of consciousness. And you chose to do that through your relationships with men. And so here I am sitting thinking about this, and then I'm realizing at the same time, wow, I used art. I went back to something that was innately comfortable to me, meaning art. I was going to be an artist when I was younger, but I had let it go because my work had gotten stolen, right? That was the story, the tale of woe I let myself play under. But here I was trying to figure out a way to heal that cyst. And what did I do? I turned to art. I turned to the place that I knew from the depths within myself. It was art. And so that was a big aha moment for me, and how my body, the cancer, the cyst, was trying to pull me back into that authentic aspect of myself. But as the human, and so many of us do this, as the human, my head was in the way thinking it can't be that simple, right? It can't be through art, or I'm not supposed to be an artist, or I'm not supposed to activate art. I'm supposed to be here to be a healer, is that's what it says in my chart. But that's all interpretational, right? It's subjective or objective based on who is reading the chart. Now, I've had people say, your hands are for creation and that creation is to do healing work on people. And then just recently, I ran into somebody who was like, oh, your hands are made for art. And I thought that was very profound and interesting because it really depends on who you are talking to and who is connecting with the energies and how they are connecting to the energies in your chart. So when it stopped feeling like I was meant to do healing work with my hands, meaning that I was going to give up the Reiki table, I know a lot of people didn't understand that at the time. It was because the energies were shifting, and it was like, okay, you've been here, done that. But how many of us are staying rooted in something that just doesn't feel comfortable anymore? Or maybe we're not attracting those clients anymore. We're not attracting that flow of income anymore because it's just not what we're here to do. And we're not paying attention to what it is that we're here to do because we're so rooted in thinking that it has to be this way. So, this is where the identity check comes in, and why this new moon in Libra is asking us to really take a look at who we are at the core. How we are feeling at our core level, and allow ourselves to expand into that and not what somebody else thinks. Because if I go back to my days in high school with art, I probably would recall a conversation with my teacher, Mr. Hall, who was more about perspectives and architectural design. And because I was good with pen and ink, he thought I could certainly do that as a living and do, illustrative design. Like back then, we had, oh, this even makes me laugh thinking about this. We had the salesman coming door to door selling the encyclopedias, right? And thinking like I could be an illustrator for encyclopedic kind of illustrations, that maybe there's books out there on flowers and I could be the one to do the illustrations on the flowers or the animals. And I was really good at that. I was good at pen and ink or ink and wash or whatever you want to call it. And he thought that that was great, but it was one comment by another teacher of mine who told me that I would never be an acclaimed artist because I had a bizarre way of putting eyelashes on the faces I was drawing. And that stuck with me more than what my teacher had said about me being an illustrator. Why? Why do we do that to ourselves? Why? Where is that negativity coming from? And I sat with that the other night as I was thinking about the drawing that I did of the vagina in order to help heal my self of that Bartholin cyst that I carried. And I thought, why would I not allow myself the opportunity to at least explore my artistic side instead of just shutting down and not using any of my creativity ever? And then I realized that some of that were the narratives of others around me. My parents were pretty checked out. They weren't really interested much in what I was doing in my life or in my career, as long as I was getting good grades in school. And they really weren't the type of parents that would go to the school and champion for the cause. And when my guidance counselor said, "Well, you should go for secretarial," my parents were like, "Yeah, that's probably a good idea." Not fighting and saying, "No, hey, her art portfolio for 7 years was in the teacher's locker. What are you going to do about that? What's going to happen?" But nobody did anything. Nobody said anything. Nobody cared. And so I took that on as if it wasn't, as if I wasn't good, as if I wasn't good enough, if I wasn't worthy. So I look at that now and I'm like, how many of us are doing that because we had a parent that was checked out, or maybe the parents were both going through something together and their lack of happiness in their relationship spilled over to the lack of happiness in the relationship they had with us kids? How many times does that happen? And then we lose our way, or we maybe take on the narratives of other people. That's another one to journal, which is another aspect of this moon. And that's another one that I did yesterday. And if we use this energy the way it's meant to be used for self-discovery, in other words, who am I when I grow up? Like, who do I want to be? Then we're gonna come up with some pretty significant aha moments. And we're gonna look at the way we're interacting with life and see the reality or the truth behind it, right? Now, I'm 63. And my whole life, I can tell you, my whole life, I have always been very uncomfortable walking into a store. Like if I go into a convenience store, 7-Eleven or a Dollar General, or like they have Tractor Supply down here, Rural King and whatnot. Even the grocery store, I feel really uncomfortable walking in. And when I first walk in, I feel really disoriented and it takes me a few minutes. I usually have to center myself and I have to breathe. And I always thought that was because maybe I feel the energy too much. And this weekend, I knew the chicken feed was running low in the chicken bin and that I would have to go to Tractor Supply, not Tractor Supply, Rural King yesterday and get feed for the chickens. And I was dreading it. And I had to do a lot of self-talk to get myself in the store. And I know a lot of people don't know this about me. If I'm with somebody, it's not a problem. But if I'm alone going into the store, it's very uncomfortable. And I never really understood why. And I always looked at it and thought, well, maybe it's because I'm an empath and maybe it's because the lights are disorienting, whatever. But no. I found out the reason. I figured it out yesterday. I actually didn't have to do much to figure it out. I just had to ask one question. So I went into Rural King. I got the chicken feed. I got wild bird seed. I got the chickens some treats, the chickens and the peacocks some treats. And then I'm checking out, putting the stuff in my car. And I'm like, that, this is not so bad. Like, what is my problem? That was such a great experience I just had. Like, what is my problem? What's the problem? Why has this plagued me my whole life? What is it? And so I was driving home and I was asking myself, what is it that is making me so uncomfortable? And then I said, I'm afraid of, and there was nothing. There was nothing. And the answer was like, you're not afraid of anything. And then I flashed on the fact that, I let lasagna out at 10 or 10:30 at night sometimes, and there's nothing outside. It is pitch black that you can't really see. Where you're walking, I have to have the porch light on so that I could just see. And if I look up, the star is filled with thousands, the sky is filled with thousands of stars. And I thought to myself, if I can stand out there in the middle of nothingness, in the complete pitch black, and there's nothing, it's in the darkness, I'm alone, there is no one around me, there's no street lights, there's nothing, then why am I afraid to walk into a store? And that answer just was not coming until last night when I was sitting in bed and I couldn't fall asleep. So I decided to do a crossword puzzle because I like to do puzzle books. And I pulled my puzzle book out and I started doing the crossword. And I sat there and all of a sudden, I had this moment of flash on a conversation with my mother years and years and years and years and years ago. I remembered her telling a story that when I was about 5 or 6, we were shopping in a store, probably a grocery store, and she always had us, hold on to the cart or sometimes in the cart, but I think this time I couldn't be in the cart. I had to hold on to the cart while we were walking through the store. And I remember her telling the story that she was checking out, putting her bags in the cart, and realized I was missing. And she looked up and she called my name. And I apparently had been taken by a woman who had me by the hand, by my wrist, and she was walking me out of the grocery store. And my mother started screaming frantically and left her cart and everything in it and started running after me and this woman. And then the woman just dropped my hand and left. And I think that that scarred my mother so much that my mom was very protective, overly protective about me going into stores. Like, I was not allowed to go to the mall by myself. And, my aunt would let my cousin go, and I'd be like, why can't I go? My mother would be like, because somebody might take you. And I never really thought about it until last night. And I was laying in bed thinking about it, and I was like, that fear of going into stores was never mine. But now that I know where it originates from, I don't feel it anymore. As a matter of fact, if I had to go back to Rural King or any other store because I forgot something, it's not an issue. I'm not even thinking about the panic or the anticipation of it that I'm feeling, because in the awareness of it, I've healed it. So how many of us are walking around with someone else's wound? Right? My mother had a very hard life growing up, very tough life. She grew up in the Bronx in a very tough area. And there was a lot of fighting in the school. And then my aunt was always getting herself into trouble. She was younger with the girls in the school. And my mother always had to stand up for her and everything. So I think my mother had a lot of wounds. And that was handed down to me in many ways. So another question we can ask ourselves is, where are we carrying other people's narratives? Where are we carrying the wounding of others? What stories have been handed down from our family lineage, from generational imprinting that we carry with us? I remember hearing the hardships of Germany when I was little, and anytime my grandparents wanted to get us to do something, they would tell the hardship stories of how all they had was a roll, a hard roll, to dunk in water, and that would puff up the roll and it would make their belly feel full, And that's what I grew up on, these hardship stories. And I'm not saying that they're not true, but it's not my narrative. I didn't live through it. And this is part of our conversations in the past when I've talked about judgment, right? That was my grandparents' narrative. They lived through it, but I can't carry that as my wound because I did not experience it. I didn't live through it. The experience of being afraid of the store, if my mom got me back and then put the fear of God into me when I was 5 or 6 because I was almost taken by somebody, I probably carry that because that was directly impacting me. But a story that somebody else tells, if I didn't experience it directly, it's not my battle, it's not my wound to carry. So we do have to be very careful about that, right? So we can ask ourselves, whose wounds are we carrying? And can we face that truth of what it is that we're not wanting to see, the truth of the wound that is not really ours? If we're in avoidance to identifying it, it's probably because it feels too comfortable or too safe being in that pattern, being in that story, right? It feels very comfortable. It feels very safe. I can't leave my significant other because they don't know how to cope with life, or because they need me, because they were wounded by somebody else and they feel that I'm their protector. How many times do we stay in a story like that? Because we think we have to be somebody else's champion for a cause. How many of us who do carry that healer aspect want to fix somebody else? Because we hear their narratives and their perceived wounding, and we stay in that relationship because we think we have to, because we don't realize that we don't have to. We don't have business there. And especially if they did not experience the wound directly. Maybe it's for them a generational wound. Maybe it's a generational imprinting, and they just regurgitated or reiterated. That's what this moon is wanting us to see. It wants us to let go of the things, the people, the places, and the situations in our life that just don't fit our personal sense of who we are. And it's asking us to not make ourselves small so another can feel big. I'm seeing that too in a lot of my session work, where people are playing into these dynamics with somebody else who is making them feel small because it makes them feel big, or it makes them feel better about themselves because they don't know how to feel better about themselves without making somebody else feel bad. That's a big one. And we have to be careful for that. So this new moon in Libra says, this is it. This is it, guys. We're at 28 degrees. The 29th degree is where you must drop the mask. It is done. Remove it. Remove your mask. Take it off. Let go of the illusion of the false self, right? It's like when I started to feel like I was done with the Reiki table, and then my guides, my team was saying, let the table go. You're going to do one-on-one, just one-on-one coaching. And I was like, what do you mean? It was like somebody told me to take all my clothes off and stand there naked. And I was like, what do you mean? That feels uncomfortable. I can't do that. And it was like in that moment that I realized I really didn't love doing Reiki anymore. Like I had moved beyond it in some way. And so because I had moved beyond it, I just did not feel, I did not feel like I wanted to do it anymore, but I was afraid to tell myself that. I was afraid to let go because it still felt comfortable. And without that, there would be no safety net for me. Where are you still holding on and operating with the idea that there's a safety net for you? Where are you still holding on for fear of letting go and stepping into your best self, your highest version of who you are? Libra wants harmony for us, right? We must pay attention to our judgments. Where are we pointing? What are we looking at that we need to let go of, that we need to shift? Because wherever that is for you, me, everyone else, it's what's holding us back. It's what's making us small. And if we're expecting something to come out of the blue and save us, that's not going to happen because we are in a time of wrapping up the old story. This is it. The last 30 years of our lives is in a wrap up. It's like a movie ending. That's a wrap, right? You click the board, click. That's a wrap. It's done. It's finished. And now, with all of this energy and this new moon in Libra, we actually have a finger of God, a yod. And in this one, unlike the other ones where we've had a finger of God, because we've had a couple of them, it's pointing to the new moon. And it doesn't do that normally. But in this case, it's doing that. And the finger of God is saying, It is time to harmonize whatever is not in harmony. It is time to create balance where there is no balance. It is time to bring back that inner truth for who we are. And so it's really important, and I know I've said this before in either a class or sessions, but it's really important to understand and know what it is that we're experiencing. Like for me, I will start like feeling the call to art, but instead of doing it, I'll start watching art videos. And then I have to tap myself on the shoulder and go like, no, you're supposed to be doing art. Get your art supplies out and start doing the art. Like, what are you doing here? What's wrong with you that you're not doing art and you're sitting here and you're futzing around, right? And it makes me laugh because it's true. It's procrastination. Why? Because it's fear. It's still that fear of the perfectionism. So look at the areas where you procrastinate yourself and then notice, oh my goodness, I'm still playing in that fear aspect within myself, right? So these energies, because of these cycles that we're in, like, the two key players right now besides Moon are Saturn and Neptune. They've actually retrograded back into Pisces, or will be retrograding back into Pisces on Wednesday, the 22nd, tomorrow. And they're going to be culminating through this retrograde their 30-year anniversary in Pisces. And this is it. It's moving destined ed events forward so that we can finally have this ending. Pisces is the liberation of the depths of limitation, the depths of the wounding, right? The depths where we have all allowed ourselves to play through somebody else's power play. So we have to remember that. We have to go through this time that we're in. And it might feel uncomfortable. It might feel unknown. And I know for me, I could say it definitely feels unknown, but it's also kind of fun to play in too when you forget your limitations. I mean, I've had conversations with people about, oh, I need to give up this, I need to give up that, I need to give up coffee, I need to... But we're in a holographic reality that's based on our thoughts. It's based on our thoughts, our words, our actions. It's based on our vibrational frequency. And every time I want to eat something that, is deemed not good for me, I start to think, well, who put in that restriction that's not good for me? Am I hearing that from something outside of myself, or is my body physically going like, don't eat that. That's not good for you. And then I have to remind myself that a lot of that is the stories that we've played under to see how we could create in the 3D. So I have to make an intelligent, rash decision at that moment and say, do I want to play in that old story? Whose narrative is that? Is that my narrative? Is that going to be my truth? Right? So it's in everything that we're doing. It's in everything that we're doing. Like last night. Last night, I got up in the dark. I had to go to the bathroom, and I was coming back in the dark. I was trying not to step on lasagna. I didn't want to turn the lights on and disturb him and really, like, disturb myself and wake myself up because it was like, I guess, 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And I tripped over something in my bedroom and I went flying face first into Bella's cat stand, which is made out of wood. And it's mostly wood and only a little bit of padding or carpeting. And I hit the edge of her perch right under my nose. So it banged right into my mouth, right under my nose. Like if you, it's like if you put your finger there, it's that whole spot, right between the lip and your nose. I forget what they call that little indentation, that little bow for the lips there. But anyway, so right in that spot, and I slammed it, I banged it really bad, really hard. And I was so grateful that I didn't hit it lower because I probably would have knocked my teeth out because my whole face fell into it. And at first, of course, I could feel my lips swelling immediately. And it was all swollen and puffy. And of course, then I turned the light on. And I went to the freezer and I got a bag of frozen vegetables and I put it on my mouth. And I was like, oh, that's great. Like, I want to do the recording tomorrow for the community. And I have a client and my mouth is going to be all swollen and I'm going to look, won't be able to talk right. And then I stopped myself in that moment because I'm like, oh my gosh, whose victim consciousness am I playing in? And is that my truth? And I thought to myself, that does not have to be my truth. My truth can be that the plasma, check this out, the plasma in the reality that I live in can come to my assistance, my aid, my support, and heal my lip, heal that wound. My body can use it. And also, it's innate intelligence to heal the swelling. It doesn't have to stay swollen. There doesn't have to be a bruise, and there's not any bruising. There's no swelling, nothing. You'd never even know I hit my mouth last night. And I thought, what a profound message this is for me to stop serving the narrative. Of, like, let's say lasagna, the dog, right? Like, I was worried about not disturbing his peace, so I didn't turn on the light. What about my needs? How many times do we do this, though, where we're sacrificing ourselves for the sake of someone else or something else? And I thought, well, that was pretty profound. That's a pretty profound message right there that. I am not interested in sacrificing myself for the sake of another. I'm not going to do that because that's the game of 3D. That's a 3D illusion, right? I could sacrifice myself and that other could still sacrifice themselves. And then they're at a deficit and I'm at a deficit. And I'm at a deficit because I sacrificed myself because they were going to do it anyway. I think I'm saving them, but I'm not, right? How many times do we do that? So I think it's really important for us to start paying attention to what it is that we're creating. If we're creating this tension, if we're creating this deficit for ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? Why do we need to play in this lack game? Is this because we have been infused with the narrative of another? Have we been infused with this idea of separating ourselves from ourselves so that we're not upholding and nurturing ourselves. You know, it's funny because yesterday I went on to answer somebody in Instagram, and the first thing I opened the page, and the first thing is this girl having a conversation with herself, and she's got a wig on, and she's talking about promoting her. You know, her business on or promoting business in general on Instagram. And she's having this dialogue back and forth. And well, you're not going to talk about yourself. And, you know, you're going to talk about what you do for work. And then the girl's like, well, I just don't feel comfortable, you know, talking about myself and how wonderful I am. And then she, this is the business coach responding back, but you're not talking about yourself. You're actually talking about what you do and the work that you do. And I listened to it for a few seconds and I thought to myself, that is such empty energy. It is such empty energy. If you see that post, I want you to really sit and pay attention to it. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to feel the energy that's being created through it. It's such empty energy. It does not hold any higher code, anything. And the game of that is that if you subscribe to her business of coaching, you're serving her narrative. You're serving her financial needs, right? If you're subscribing to that, because there's nothing beneficial in it for you, there's no positive reaction from that for you, there is no reciprocity in it for you. Pay attention to that. Listen to that. We have been playing this game for years and years and years. And these influencers are giving these narratives, right? Like business coaching, this is how you do it, da 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 da. And we're basically signing up for that, making them bigger, better influencers, and then wondering why it's not working for us. And I have news for you. The reason that it's not working for anybody else is because it's not meant to, because they're here for that purpose. They're like a byproduct of the 3D matrix. When you start to understand that you are playing against the supercomputer, they're a generation. They're generated by the supercomputer of the matrix of the hologram. And they have, whatever, 400, 500,000 followers. And you still only have 1,000 followers or 2,000 followers or 3,000 followers. That is so because you are real. You are a soul having a human experience in the reality, but have to remember that there are elements out there in the matrix that are part of the supercomputer that you're playing against. And these influencers that are out there, a lot of them are generated by the matrix to keep us in the game of separation, because while we're admiring, desiring to be bigger, better, bolder, to have more followers, to have more money coming from being an influencer or anything like that, it pulls us away from us. It's not us going deeper into the truth of who we are. It's us going deeper into the narrative of who that person is or that influencer is and their own narrative, which might not be your narrative. This is where it's going to start get really interesting, and we need to pay attention. Where are we pointing our compass? We have to be pointing within. So any of the questions I've given you today or at any point through any of the other gatherings that we've had, if I give you journaling prompts, questions, do them. Do them. Because I have had such moments of self-discovery this week by being so quiet, right? By being even more quiet than I normally am, even more tuned out of social media than I normally am, being one within myself. It's hard. It's really challenging and it can be uncomfortable. But you cross a threshold and it's like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And I don't want to go back to where I was because this is how amazing gets created. And one thing that's pretty funny is with these endings and culminations, I've been feeling like I'm going to move again soon, even though Joe has asked me to stay and I'm going to start paying rent and come back into the flow of being completely sovereign, supporting myself, and like, I'm not work for hire anymore. There won't be lasagna to take care of. It'll just be maintaining the house and the chickens and whatnot. which I get eggs from, so it's like a, service of reciprocity. But because he's got a lot of shifting here too, I wanted to move a lot of stuff back into my storage unit that I either haven't looked at, haven't touched, don't need, whatever the case is. And so I had called Habitat for Humanity to see if they wanted a dresser in these two huge stands that I have that were bamboo that were on each side of my sofa. And they're, the stands are attached to the timeline with Pete, so I need to get rid of those. And the dresser is attached to the timeline of the Medford house, so I need to get rid of that. And then I'll only have like the recliner chair left. But the interesting part of this whole thing is I called Habitat for Humanity and they did not call me back. And I just let it go, thinking like, okay, when it's time, I know everything is just going to fall into place. I'm not going to have to worry. You know, when they call me back, they call me back today on the day of the new moon. They call me on today, the day of the beginning of the end, right? The ending and the beginning, the ending of the old, the beginning of the new, the beginning of the end of the beginning. It, because it's everything in one. It's the endings of the old 30-year cycle coming to a completion that will happen effectively in February when everything moves forward and both Saturn and Neptune are fully engaged in Aries, and Saturn will be there for, I don't know, 20 or 30 years. Or rather, Pluto will be there for 20 or 30 years and Saturn will be there for like two or three. But I'm like, yeah, I could feel it. I'll probably be moving in February, March, April. Yeah, I could feel that, right? But I'm tuning into it and I'm staying playful and I'm being playful. What are you doing to call in your next move? Really? Work with these energies, really pay attention and work with these energies. It is so important right now because there's things that we have to move on from. There are things that we have to let go of. There are things that we have to complete. We have to just move on from it. It's so important. So I think I want to leave this here for now. And as I did last time, if something else comes up, I'll pop in with a little snippet and put it in the other folder for you. But I wanted to share what's been happening with me because I've been doing a lot of being work, a lot more being than anything else. I mean, I'm doing my sessions too, but a lot of being, I'm detached from everything. There's a part of me that doesn't even want to go on social media because it just doesn't feel aligned anymore. And I think that that's what happens when we start to get to a certain place. We feel like we're just not wanting to be tuned into that energy, that frequency. And the more you allow yourself to ascend into these highest highs and see the illusion that you're playing into, even it, like I was saying before, this business coach that I saw, I was laughing at the whole thing. It's so empty. The energy is so empty. But if we're glossing that over by the, oh my God, this could really help me, or maybe if I go to them for business coaching, it's gonna do the same thing and I'm gonna grow my business by $350,000. By 350,000 followers, that does not make you money. That does not make you wealthy. That does not make you rich. That does not make you abundant. That doesn't. Your vibration makes you abundant. Your vibration gives you everything that you need. And I mean everything that you need that you do not need to want for anything. Nothing. The only way you will feel that you have need for something is if you think you have to play that out, if you think that that has to be your truth, because it can't be that easy or it can't be any other way. And it can be so easy. Okay. Money is a direct relationship to our vibration. Go back to the last class and listen to that. It's directly proportional to our vibration. Okay? Very important. It's very, very, very important. So there is nothing outside of you that you need. The only thing that you need is to clean up your thoughts, clean up your beliefs. Ask yourself, is this my truth or is this a truth being handed down to me from somewhere else? That's all you need to do. That's all you need to focus on, nothing else. Okay. So I'm going to leave this here. If you have any questions on this, please feel free to reach out to me and I'd be happy to answer them and put them in that other folder for you. Your questions answered. Okay. I love you guys so very much. Please stay focused. This is a very, very critical time we're in. Let anything with the outer reality go. The outer reality is not where our truth lies. It's not. It has no relevance for us. Don't even watch it. Don't pay attention to it. If somebody didn't tell me we have a government, I wouldn't know we had a government because I don't let it impact me that way. It doesn't. It has no bearing on me whatsoever. And it, I've moved to a place where I'm controlling my reality. And I look at it from that perspective too. It's all mine. It's my reality. And what happens in my reality is directly proportional to where my thoughts align. Okay. So be very present with everything. All right. Be very, very present with everything and see it all. See the truth of it all so that you are standing in your truth and not somebody else's truth. All right. I love you so very much. Have a wonderful whatever it is that you're doing. And I will be sending out the schedule with the new dates on it very soon. And that's it. All right. Love you guys. Bye.